In the name of Jesus. Luke 10, verse 16, just a few verses after today's gospel, is regularly cited as a proof text for the office of the ministry. He who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who sent me. So it is mildly surprising that the dogmaticians do not typically cite verse 1 from our reading in establishing the office of the ministry. The Lord appointed 70 others. For here we see clearly that Jesus is the one who orders. Anadext nousi, men into the office. Further, this passage makes it clear that the ministry is not limited to apostles, but it is given to many. So questions over whether authority to forgive sins is exercised just by the original apostles or by a ministry made up of more than these is answered by this verse. This text has an eschatological tone. The 70 are sent out as laborers into the harvest, to every place where Jesus is about to go. Wherever the Lord goes, there is and will be confrontation. At the resurrection, the righteous one will confront the world with his judgment. The wheat and the tares will be harvested, the wheat gathered into the barns, and the tares separated out and burned. And so, to prepare every town and place for this harvest, the Lord sends laborers into the harvest before him. You who are on this path to ordination are among the laborers the Lord is sending, appointing into the harvest. As the Lord is ordering you into this office, he also orders you with various instruction. First on this list is to pray. Prayer is not given to you to speculate about whether you can change God's mind. Prayer is not an argument or a discussion between you and God. Rather, God gives you the words that you are to pray. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Send out laborers into the harvest. Let me not fall into temptation. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. All of these words and others God gives you to pray. Prayer, therefore, is not so much a conversation, but submission to the word and will of the Lord. Submission is the first work of the laborer. When you are prepared and appointed, then go as a lamb in the midst of wolves. A lamb is stupid. The wolf is ravenous. The lamb is no match for the wolf. Our Lord makes it plain that you go out with no hope for defeating the wolf on your own. You would be slaughtered as every other lamb in the midst of wolves. You would be, that is, were it not for the ordering the Lord gives you, which he has vowed to uphold for his sake. For our Lord, of course, is the sheep who was led to the slaughter in your place. He made the cross the way of eternal life, suffering death and then bursting open these bonds of death. The cross and the resurrection, these have become the beginning and the center of your ministry. They are what you preach, and they are how you live. The wolves would have you suffer death, but instead you abide in and through this cross of Christ. Nothing should make it clear to you that it is the Lord's ministry and his cross at work than your survival as a lamb in the midst of wolves. You will live as a minister in the midst of other lambs, but also in the midst of many wolves. Perhaps you will thrive, or perhaps you will merely escape with your faith intact. But either way, Christ keeps the wolves at bay. Christ also transforms wolves into fellow lambs. Now, this is not an empirical point. If a minister is rejected by a congregation, this does not indicate the success of the wolves. Rather, the lamb continues, grounded in the cross of Christ, faithful to Christ, even if he survives alone and the wolf pack goes down to destruction. Carry no extra belongings. Rely on the provisions of those who receive you, for it is their demonstration that they have received the word of God in faith. Do not rely on your money. Do not take comfort in the little bit of savings you can pull together for that retirement property that you've inherited. Leave it behind. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be preoccupied with how well off you might be next year or in the next decade or in your retirement. If these assets are still there at the end of your life, thanks be to God. If not, thanks be to God that He has provided for you by other means, by the food and the drink that have been set before you by those who received you. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Eat and drink what people set before you, and thus God gives your daily bread. Finally, prepare people for the coming of the Lord. He has sent you before Him. He has sent you into a place where He Himself will come. And so preach as He preaches. Peace be to this house. Heal the sick. Heal by the water of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Say to them that the kingdom of God has come near, and bestow that kingdom upon them with these many gifts, including the body and blood of our Lord. In His gift, He is present to bring the kingdom of God near to you and to your people. The kingdom is not defined by its geography, but by the presence of Christ. There is an eschatological tone to the gospel. Laborers are sent into the harvest in every place where He Himself is about to go. And yet Christ is already present with His laborers and with those with whom He has brought the kingdom. It is His presence that brings the kingdom to your midst. Christ is not waiting for the judgment to come among you. He comes among you already, not for condemnation, but for peace. Not to be destroyed among wolves, but to have authority over the wolves. He places Himself into your words and into your hands to be served up and given over to His people, to establish the kingdom of God among them. This passage may be an afterthought to the dogmaticians, but not to Christ. He does not keep His ministry only for Himself. He does not give it only to the 12, but He gives it to you and to a multitude who go before Him to make Him present for the life of the world now. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace, has come near to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.